Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
If you've ever been to Eastern or Southern Africa, you've probably had the opportunity to visit a Bata shoe store. It seems like Bata shoe stores are everywhere in Eastern and Southern Africa. Even remote villages and out-of-the-way markets sell Bata shoes. In fact, so many Bata shoes are sold in Africa every year that it's been nicknamed the Shoe Company of Africa. People love Bata shoes for their quality and their price. But it's not just the price and quality that have made Bata a dominant factor in the shoe market in Africa. There's something else that has contributed to their rise across the continent. But the fact is, the company saw opportunity when most other people didn't. You see, when Bata shoes first came to Africa and opened up the market, they hired two salesmen. They sent one to the east and one to the west to promote their shoes. But after a few weeks, the one who went to the west came back discouraged. In fact, he was so discouraged, he submitted a resignation letter. When the boss called him and asked him why he was quitting, he said, "The assignment given to me is impossible. In the region you gave me, no one wears shoes. Everybody's barefoot. So how can I sell shoes to barefoot people who don't wear shoes?" And so he quit. But at the same time, the salesman from the west was resigning. The salesman from the east was making a huge order for shoes. The salesman from the east called the company and asked them to send as many shoes as possible as quickly as they could. "It's fantastic over here," he said. "The market is wide open. Nobody wears shoes, so everybody is a potential customer. I can sell shoes to everyone." You see, the salesman in the West was so focused on the obstacles, he couldn't see the opportunity. But the salesman in the East saw the opportunity and ignored the obstacles. And because of his inspired vision, Bata shoes dominates the market in Eastern and Southern Africa. Today, Bata shoes serves 1 million customers every day. And their story is a powerful reminder to all of us. No matter how difficult things may be, you can succeed if you open your eyes to see opportunity instead of obstacles. Are you focused on the difficulties in your life or the opportunities God has set before you? Today, God is calling all of us to look with the eyes of faith, to see our lives and our church in the unlimited opportunities He has, rather than the obstacles around us. Today, I hear God calling us to walk through an open door, to step out in faith and answer His call, and to surrender to His Holy Spirit so that He can accomplish His will and His destiny in us. That's the powerful message in our sermon this morning. But before we go on, let's bow our heads and pray together. Almighty and everlasting Father, I ask you today that you open the eyes of our understanding and grant us faith to see the opportunities you've set before us. I hear the stirring of your voice inside, telling us that there is an open door in our lives and in our church. And so I ask you, dear Father, that you come and move upon us and give us the courage to walk through that door, to chase after you and surrender our all, to make your name great and to see lives transformed. We submit to you today, by the power of the blood of Jesus, I bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I loose the Spirit of the living God to give our lives illumination and truth and to give us the grace to answer the call and obey you. We thank you, Lord, that at the end of this day, by faith, your name will be glorified and our lives will be transformed. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to invite you to take a moment and pray with me right now. If you would, just place your hands on your chest and say after me, "Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to Agape House. This is the first Sunday in September, and that alone is something to celebrate. But to make it even better, September is our 10-year anniversary month, and by the grace of God, this is a September to remember as we celebrate the great things that God has done for us throughout these 10 years. So why don't you join me and give the Lord a big cheer right now. Amen. And we're kicking off this great month, this weekend, with what we call Vision Weekend. We celebrate Vision Weekend every year just before our anniversary because it's a time to remind ourselves of the vision that God has for our church and for our lives. You see, before there was Agape House, there was a vision. And so we're coming today to remind ourselves of some of the things that God has called us to and to rededicate ourselves to fulfilling that vision. You see, the truth is God's vision for our church is his vision for your life as well. The church is not this building or the property or Agape Land. The church is you. And Agape House is no stronger than the combined strength of all of our members. We are as strong as the people who make up our fellowship. And without you, there is no church. That's why today I'm here to tell you about God's plan and vision for your life. You might have expected me to come and talk about another 10-year plan of how the church is going to expand and grow or how the organization is going to reach out to new levels, but that's not the primary focus of today. The primary focus is for you to see God's vision for your life, because when you fulfill God's vision for your life, we as the church will surely fulfill our vision from God for our church. So to help us learn God's vision for your life, we printed sermon notes. They're inside your bulletin. They look like this, and I invite you to take them out and follow along with me now as we discover the three steps to pass through the open door and fulfill God's vision for our lives. And there at the top of your notes is our scripture text for today. It's a powerful prophetic word found in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It's a vision that the apostle John received, and I believe it's God's word for you and for all of us today. So I'd like to ask you to help me by reading it out loud together. Are you ready? Here we go. Let's read it with our best preacher voice. 3, 2, 1, go. After this, I looked, and there in front of me was a door standing open in heaven. I heard the voice I'd heard before. It sounded like a trumpet. The voice said, "Come up here. I will show you what must happen after this." At once, the Holy Spirit took complete control of me. There in front of me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I believe these words are significant, not just because of what they say, not just because they're a prophetic impartation from God, but they're significant also because of who spoke them. Bible scholars attribute these words to the Apostle John. And if you remember, John was one of the original followers of Jesus. He was an eyewitness to everything Jesus said and did while he was in ministry here upon the earth. Perhaps there was no one closer to Jesus than John, for the Bible calls him the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's why he leaned on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper. That's why he was the one who followed Jesus to the court when they put him on trial. That's why it was John to whom Jesus entrusted his own mother Mary when he hung on the cross dying. John was a significant part of the early church. There's no doubt he had a special place with Jesus, and his ministry of writing the gospel and writing the epistles of John made a significant mark not only on the early church, but on us today as well. Yet here is John at the end of his life, a man who'd seen all that Christ had done, a man who'd received ministry from the Lord himself. Here he is receiving a prophetic word that there's still an open door ahead of him. He's being called higher. He's being called closer to Christ. He's being called to see a new vision. And in that truth, there is a message for all of us today. Because if John, after having experienced everything he did, could still have an open door and an open vision he needed to receive, what about you and I? If there was more for John, there's more for you. You may have been a Christian for 20 years or 30 years. You may have preached the gospel. You may have been used by God in prayer and prophecy. But no matter who you are, you have something still to do for God. You have an open door to still go through. You have a revelation still to receive. So this is not the time to settle down. This is not the time to relax. This is the time to stir ourselves and open our eyes to see the open door. I thank God for what the Lord has done in 10 years at Agape House, but we are just scratching the surface. This is a drop in the bucket. There's still something greater ahead for you, and there's something greater ahead for us. If you believe it, say amen. But see, the problem is oftentimes we don't see that open door because we're not looking. And sometimes we don't look because we become familiar with the things of God. We're no longer hungry. We're no longer pressing in for more. That's why our first truth this morning is this. In order to fulfill God's vision for your life, you have to see the opportunity. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word opportunity and go back again to the words of John when he said, after this, after all I've accomplished, after all I've seen, after all my life, there is still in front of me a door standing open in heaven. Why? Because I looked. Everybody say, he looked. The fact is, this door was open in heaven. The fact is, it was already there. But until John looked, he didn't see the opportunity. The fact is, if John had allowed himself to look at his circumstances, he might not have seen the opportunity. If he'd been focused on the obstacles around him, he might have missed this open door. For the fact is, Bible scholars tell us that when John received this revelation, he was exiled to the island of Patmos. In Revelation 1:9, he says, I am your companion in suffering for Jesus Christ, and I was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So John was being persecuted, he was being punished, he was sent to exile to the island of Patmos. And if you've seen the island of Patmos, you know it's not a place you would necessarily want to go to. It's very small, it's barren and rocky, there's nothing there that strikes you to be a place of opportunity. John was suffering in a place of persecution, a place of barrenness, a place where it seemed there were no opportunities. And had he focused on that, he would have missed the open door. John was actually in a desperate situation, but that desperate situation drove him to God. Maybe you're here today, you're in a desperate situation. It looks like everything around you is void of opportunity, but if you will lift your eyes with faith, you will see the open door. For I believe no matter who you are, I believe no matter what you face, I believe no matter what circumstances you're in today, God always has an open door for his people. That's why 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, there is a wide open door for a great work here, although many oppose me. Maybe you're here today and you feel like many oppose you. Maybe you feel like you're exiled to an island where there's no opportunity. Maybe you feel like you've been shut out and pushed out and oppressed and put down. You may feel as if there's no way forward, but God has a different story to tell about your life. No man, no circumstances, and no situation can prevent you from walking through the open door if you will open your eyes and see. For no matter who you are, God always has an open door for you into greater things. That's why here at Agape House, we value people. That's why here at Agape House, our vision is to see every person reach their full potential in Christ. No matter your background, no matter your past, no matter your lack of education or your lack of economic standing, we believe that for every person, God always has an open door. And sometimes the very place that seems the least likely to produce a good result is the very place God moves. It was on the Isle of Patmos, in an exile, in a barren and rocky place, that John received the book of Revelation. It was there he was caught up into heaven. It was there he was drawn to his greatest writing, in the place that seemed void of opportunity. And I speak prophetically over you and over this church today. You may be in a place that seems void of opportunity. You may be in a place where it looks as if there's no way forward and every door is closed to you. But God is going to give you a revelation in that place. He's going to give you an open door in that place. He's going to draw you closer to Him and turn the barren place into a fruitful place of revelation. So I declare to you today, do not be discouraged. Do not give up. Do not look at your circumstances. Do not focus on the obstacles, but look with the eyes of faith and see the opportunity ahead. For God has given you an open door. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. Come on. That's the lesson we can learn from the remarkable true story of a young lady named Jumoke Orishaguna. Jumoke was the least likely person you would expect to make progress in life. She was poor. In fact, she was so poor, she used to walk the streets of Lagos, Nigeria, selling bread from the top of her head. Originally, she was a hairdresser from Osun State, but she was struggling to make ends meet, so she left her husband and her child and came to Lagos to become a street vendor. But with little education and no capital, Jumoke didn't have much opportunity. She earned about 4 Ghana cedis a day, and her future seemed bleak. But then, one day, as she was wandering the streets of Lagos selling bread from on top of her head, she accidentally entered into a photo shoot. The famed photographer Ty Bello was photographing UK pop star Tiny Tempa, and one of the pictures just happened to catch Jumoke in the background. And in that split second, her life was changed. Suddenly, the photograph of the beautiful bread seller was spreading on social media like wildfire. She was awarded lucrative modeling contracts. In fact, a company offered to pay for her to finish her education. A bank even offered to pay for the schooling for her 2 children. She went from a bread seller to an internationally recognized model. In the place that seemed to be void of opportunity, Jumoke discovered an open door. And I declare to you today that God has an open door for you. No matter how difficult your life, no matter how dark the night, no matter how void of opportunity, there is always an open door. And I see an open door before your life today. I see an open door before your family. I see an open door before this church. And I hear the voice of the one true God in Revelation 3, 7, and 8 saying, "This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close, and what he closes, no one can open. I know all the things you do, and I've opened a door for you that no one can close." So receive the word of the Lord today and lift up your eyes to see the opportunity. Amen. That's why I believe in you. I believe in your life. I've dedicated myself to being here at Agape House to see you reach your full potential, because I believe that every person, man or woman, boy or girl, rich or poor, educated or not, everyone has an open door, an opportunity in God. The fact is, it's not just financial, it's not just in your career, it's not just in the natural. For if God can open a door for someone like Jumoke in a career, how much more will He open the door for you in the spiritual realm? If God can elevate someone financially, how much more can He elevate you into the things of the Spirit? If God can turn your family around and turn a nation around and turn a generation around, then He can turn this church around and make us a people who know Him, who walk with Him, and who fellowship with Him. I'm not just talking about physical breakthroughs. I'm not just talking about a job or relationship or finance. I'm talking about getting your life on track with Jesus and fulfilling the vision of God for your life in every area, spirit, soul, and body. I'm talking today not just about a better job and a better car and a better finance. I'm talking about a life that is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. For God wants to use you not just in a better career. He wants to use you to change this generation. God wants to use you not just in science and education. He wants to use you in the spiritual realm. And if God can advance your career, how much more will he advance your spirit when you seek him? This generation will change the people of our world. When we face our darkest night and our hardest battle, but we refuse to stop looking at the opportunity. And I believe God is raising people in this place. For you see, just like many of us are facing difficulties in the natural, this world is facing difficulties. This is a dark day and a dark age. There is hatred seething in many places. There are the threats of nuclear war. We woke this morning to read that North Korea has tested a hydrogen bomb with the capability of murdering millions of people at once. We see nations in turmoil and at war. We see disease rampant. We see the planet breaking down, but it's into this dark world God has raised you and I to be a light. He chose you for this time. He chose you for this generation. He chose you to make an impact here. And I refuse to look at the obstacles of my world. I refuse to get negative about the things I see. And I focus instead upon the opportunity. And I rededicate myself to seek the face of the Lord. For you see, when John saw the open door, it was an open door in heaven. And we're not talking about changing things on earth first. I'm talking about changing things in heaven first. For what happens in heaven will be reflected on earth. And what you see in heaven and what you claim in heaven is what you will see come down to earth here. So here's the key. You need to put on your keychain and carry home with you. You can't reach your full potential without God. You can't change things just on earth by being a better person. That's why it's time for us to seek the Lord. It's time for us to go to the heavenly realm and command those doors to open. It's time to see with the eyes of faith beyond the physical realm and look into the heavenly. For if we fail in prayer, we fail everywhere. That open door that is set before you today, it's not just an open door of opportunity, not just an open door of career, it's an open door into God himself. For Hebrews chapter 12, 22 and 24 tells us what we're coming to when we hear the call to the open door. It says, you've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You've come to God himself, who's the judge over all things. You've come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people. And God is calling us today to an open door in heaven that we might come to him. Turn your notes over to page 2, and that brings us to our second step to fulfilling your vision today. You've got to hear the invitation. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word invitation. See, the first step is to see the open door. You've got to see the opportunity. If you don't look and see, you won't even be aware that something is there. But if you see the opportunity but don't hear the invitation, you will not act. So John says, after I looked and saw, then I heard the voice I'd heard before. The voice said, come up here. And not only does God have an open door for you today, but he also has the voice of his Holy Spirit calling you, come up here. He's calling you to himself. He's calling you higher. He's calling you to come to where he is. For the fact is, the closer you are to Jesus, the more you will experience his blessings in your life. That's why we dare not fail to heed his words. In Hebrews chapter 12, 25, the Bible says, be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who's speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. Right now, you have a window of opportunity. Right now, God is speaking to you. Right now, you're in the place where God's truth is coming and his spirit is calling you. But do not reject that voice. For we have a vision here at Agape House that everyone will answer the call. It's our passion and our desire that everyone will hear the voice of the Spirit and respond. For not all opportunities are created equal. And every opportunity has an expiration date. Today is the day. Now is the time. As we celebrate celebrate our 10-year anniversary. God is calling us. God is leading us. God is taking us higher. But Jesus warned us in John chapter 9, verse 4, we must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent us, for the night is coming when no one can work. And if we don't hear his voice, if we don't answer his call, we will miss this opportunity. That's what happened last July to an 82-year-old man named Isaac Komisarczyk. Isaac Komisarczyk made a call. It was a call for help, a cry in an emergency. You see, on the afternoon of July 5th of this year, Isaac Komisarczyk went into the lift at his apartment building. The lift doors closed, and he pressed the buttons to ascend to his floor where he lived. But without any warning, the lift malfunctioned. The doors were closed, but the lift wouldn't move. So Isaac made a call for help. He pressed the alarm button in the lift, requesting maintenance to come and rescue him. And records show that the management company received the emergency call. But for reasons we may never know, the management on duty failed to send help. No one came. No one answered the call. People heard his call, but ignored it. A month later, residents of the apartment building where Isaac lived began to complain about a horrible odor permeating the building. They called management. Management sent repairmen to go and investigate, and it led them to a lift with its doors closed. When they pried open the doors, they found Isaac Komisarczyk dead. He'd been dead for a month because no one answered the call. The fact is, God has a call for you today, a call to come up to him, a call to come up closer. But if you ignore the call, it will result in death in your life spiritually. You may be existing. You may even be succeeding in this world. But life is more than just food and drink. Life is more than career and family. Life is caught up in Jesus. And when we answer the call, we receive life. When we ignore it, we lose life. That's why you need to hear and answer God's call today. For he's calling every one of us. Not just pastors, not just deacons, but every one of us. Listen to his call in Romans 8, 29 and 30. For God knew his people in advance. Not some of them, but all of them. And he chose his people. He chose you and me. He chose his people to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And here's what you've got to understand today. Every single one of us is called. We've misinterpreted the call as, well, I don't have a call to be a pastor. I don't have a call to be a prophet. But every believer, every child of God is called. He's called us to himself. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. We are called to be like him. We're called to come to him. We're called to receive his glory. And here's the thing you need to understand today. It's time to stop playing games. It's time to stop playing church. It's time to stop playing religion. We're not here just to have a ritual and a tradition. We're not here just to sing songs and say prayers and give you sprinklings of blessings. We're not here to improve just your lifestyle or your career or your finances. We are here to pursue Jesus Christ. We're here to chase him. We're here to answer the call and to let that call go out to everybody. For the danger in the church today is that many people see the opportunity, but they don't hear the invitation. People see the gospel as an opportunity to advance. They see the opportunity to get more ahead in life. They see the opportunity to prosper financially. They see the opportunity for a better life, but they don't hear the invitation. But hear that invitation today. It's not just to be blessed. It's an invitation to follow Jesus, for he said, come, follow me. It's an invitation to surrender yourself, for he said, come, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. It's not just an invitation for healing and deliverance. It's an invitation to come and be useful in his kingdom, for he said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You've got to hear the call today, because millions are being led astray, focusing only on the opportunity. opportunity, but ignoring the call. Now, I believe that God's blessing comes upon his people. I believe when you follow Jesus Christ, your life will prosper. Your family will prosper. I believe that the gospel raises and elevates a nation and a people. But let us make no mistake. We're not chasing the blessings. We're chasing the blessor. Because if you have all the things that this world values, but you miss Jesus Christ, you've missed eternal life. And we're not here just to make an impact financially in Ghana. We're not here just to turn education around or academia or science. We've been called to turn dead men into living ones. We've been called to save souls from sin and from darkness. We've been called to rescue the perishing. And the gospel transforms people's lives inside and out. If you believe it, say amen. And at Agape House, we're passionate about helping people follow biblical truth and come to the place where they answer the call of God. That's why we will never stop planting new churches as we've just been doing in Upper East and Upper West. That's why we're sending teams out at a great expense to go and proclaim the gospel, to preach to the Muslims and the idol worshipers. That's why we will go into places that can't give anything back to us to build churches and put roofs on churches. That's why we're digging wells to provide water for villagers. That's why we're out there ministering day and night on Lagos Avenue and on UGN UPSA, because we are passionate about seeing people answer the call. We are here not to sell ourselves. We're here not to promote a ministry. We're not here to promote a name. We're here to proclaim Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the Most High, the Savior of the world. He's the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. We're here not for a building, not for an auditorium, not for air conditioning, not for better music. We're here for Jesus Christ. We are his ambassadors. We are his people. We are his army, and we will rise up and answer the call. There is an open door before every one of us today, no matter who you are. But it's not just an opportunity to get a better life. It's an opportunity to hear the invitation and come to him and become a part of the world changers. And that brings us to our third truth today. You've got to surrender to the Holy Spirit. For you see, the open door is there for every one of us, and the invitation is there to every one of us. But this is not a task we can accomplish in our own strength. It's not better methods or more money or better men that will raise up the army. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why John said, after I saw the open door, after I heard the voice calling me, at once the Holy Spirit took complete control. We're a church that believes that without Christ's power in us, we can accomplish nothing. But we believe that as God has given us an open door and given us an invitation, at the same time, he gives us the power to carry out his work. That's what John the Baptist told us would be the work of Jesus. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said this, he, that is Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And I want you to think about this for a moment. For here's John the Baptist introducing Jesus the Baptist. John's baptism was earthly, but Jesus' baptism was heavenly. John's baptism was natural, but Jesus' baptism was supernatural. John's baptism was water, but Jesus' baptism was Holy Ghost and fire. John's baptism brought repentance, but Jesus' baptism brought power. John's baptism was earthly, but Jesus' baptism was heavenly. And in that transformative moment, God split time into two and came down to say, every one of my followers, every one of my people, everyone who comes to follow me will now have the power residing in them. In John the Baptist's era, God only fell on particular individuals. But in Jesus' day and time, he falls on all of us. And this ministry is not about promoting a man or a method or a name. This ministry is about empowering God's people with the fire of the Holy Spirit. You see, the fact is, our God is a consuming fire. Fire has always marked the presence of God. It's always the hallmark of the church. It's always the hallmark of the gospel. And if we don't have the fire, we don't have the presence of God. Just as fire consumes everything in its path, so also the fire of the Holy Spirit is coming in this day and hour to consume everything impure in us and make us holy. Just as fire carries everything upwards, so the Holy Spirit fire is coming to carry us up into the heavenly realms. Just as fire comes to illuminate, so he's coming to illuminate our lives. Just as fire comes to warm us, so his presence is coming to warm us. For if God is a consuming fire, then everything associated with God will be caught on fire as well. It is impossible to be close to God and not catch on fire. That's why Psalms 104:4 says, "Who makes his ministers a flame of fire?" And I see the opportunity and I hear the voice, and I urge you today to surrender to the Holy Spirit and get consumed with fire. That's what happened in the New Testament church. In Acts 4:31, the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They were all consumed with the fire of God, and they changed their world. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit. And as we prepare to celebrate our anniversary, there can be no better way to rejoice and acknowledge what God has done than to pray for a new impartation of his power, a new filling inside of us, that the gifts and the anointings that he has for each and every one of us will come out and flow. 1 Corinthians 12:4-7 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And here's the message I want to leave you with as we prepare to close the message. God has something for you. He's got an open door. If you listen to his voice calling and inviting you today, he's got a gift to give you, an anointing to put upon you, something to emblazon in your life, so that you can reach out and become a part of his army that is working to change this world. When we all play our part, when we all join together, we will glorify God. We will transform lives. We will change this generation. That's the lesson we can learn from the remarkable story of the Cajun Navy that is working right now to rescue people in flood-ravaged Houston, Texas. I'm sure this last week you heard about Hurricane Harvey that hit America's fourth largest city. I was amazed at the pictures of water so high in the city streets and people desperate to get out, people drowning and dying. But when the city of Houston needed help to rescue their people, they didn't call upon an ocean liner or a big naval ship. They didn't call upon a luxury cruise line. They called for ordinary men and women, volunteers who had their own boats, some of them small wooden vessels, what they call the Cajun Navy. And hundreds, thousands of people responded, coming into Houston with little tiny boats, reaching into the neighborhoods and communities, rescuing the perishing. In that desperate hour, the important thing wasn't the quality of the vessel, wasn't the cost of the boat. It was the presence of ordinary people who cared. That's what God's calling us to do. We have a vision for every one of us to reach our full potential through the open door. We have a vision that every one of us will hear the invitation and answer the call to be closer to Jesus. And we have a vision here that every one of us will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to raise up as a mighty army, going everywhere, spreading the fire of God's love. I invite you to join me in this great vision. See the opportunity, hear the invitation, and surrender to the Holy Spirit. Shall we pray? Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you today in the mighty name of Jesus for the great opportunity set before us. Lord, you take no notice of our background, our family, our name, our education. You extend an open door to everyone. You place within each of us a gift. And I pray today, Lord, that we will see with eyes of faith, not the obstacles around us, but the opportunities ahead of us. I pray today, Lord, that you will quicken our ears to hear the voice calling us, come up here, become like me, get closer to me. Let us, Lord, see that we can only reach our full potential as we focus on you and make you Lord of our lives. And as we come to you today, Lord, fill us anew and afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit. Let your fire fall upon us and emblazon us, that we will no longer be spectators in the house of God, but we'll be participants. Create an army in this place that will go to every nook and corner of this nation. Create an army, O God, that's ablaze with your power and your glory. Create an army, O God, that will rise up and reach out to the lost and dying. Create an army that will reach its potential, following and chasing you. Create an army, O God, in Agape House. Let our name never, never take prominence. But let your name and your name alone be glorified as you transform our lives and the lives of those around us. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Come on and rise to your feet and let's give the Lord some praise today. Come on and rejoice with me.
Hallelujah. It's our prayer that
the hope of nations.
God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Avon. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30, or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience.
We're heroes in-